fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's the first Monday of the new month, and we're glad you're going to spend the week with us. Not only do we have a look back at the past weekend and the results of the New York City Marathon on Sunday, but we have a look ahead at some of the key sporting events to come. We'll have Samson O'Malley with the report on how the African runners did in New York City. I also talked with sports journalist Martin Rogers, who wrote a piece for USA Today on running his first ever marathon on Sunday. It took Martin about 4 hours and 40 minutes to cover the 26.2 miles. My colleague Gwen Uten will be here too, looking at some news announced over the weekend by Floyd Mayweather's camp about an upcoming bout. And finally, our friend Prince Nesta catches us up on the weekend of action in European soccer. First off, let's turn it over to Samson O'Malley in Nigeria. Welcome to the show, Samson.
We begin in New York City, where Mary Kitiani of Kenya and Lilisa Disisa of Ethiopia won the New York City Marathon on Sunday, with Mary Kitiani dominating the strong women's field for her fourth victory in the event, and Lilisa Disisa surging ahead of two other runners near the finish line. Disisa held off countryman Shura Kitita by 1.99 seconds for his first win in New York, joining victories at the Boston Marathon in 2013 and 2015. He missed second in New York in 2014 and third in 2015 and 2017. Lilisa Disisa finished in 2 hours, 5 minutes, 59 seconds, the second fastest time for the course in history.
I participate, number 2, number 3, and one time I DNF. This year, I decided to champion because I did hard training, everything control. I save my power, and I saw athletes, especially my partner training athlete Shura Kitata. I amazing him.
In the women's category, Mary Kitiani, who won in 2014, 2015, and 2016 before coming in second last year behind American Shalane Flagan, joined Greater Worlds, who won the marathon 9 times between 1978 and 1988 as the only women to win the marathon 4 times. Mary Kitiani pulled away at the 19-mile mark and held a 1 hour, 27 minutes, 83-second lead at the 21-mile mark. From that point, the question was not whether Kitiani will win, rather it was by how much. She beat countrywoman Vivian Cheruiyot by 3 minutes 13 seconds.
I thank God for the victory. I'm really happy for winning today again for the fourth time. I know last year was second, and I did not give up. I go back home, I train, and I say, okay, next time I will try my best. And that's why I've come today, and got a good weather for running.
And on to football news. The CAF Champions League final first leg match between Al Ahly of Egypt and Esperance of Tunisia was marred by controversial refereeing calls. There were 3 penalties on the night, including 2 controversial ones, which went to the Egyptians as Ahly sealed a 3-1 win that certainly didn't go down well with a travelling contingent. We stay in North Africa, where Egypt's Zamalek has been given a final 90-day deadline by FIFA to pay the dues of former players Alexis Mendomo if they are to avoid being deducted points in the Egyptian Premier League. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. We'll be looking forward to the next leg of the CAF Champions League final coming up on November 9th. Samson just told us about the finishing times of the winners of the New York City Marathon on Sunday. As he mentioned, Lilisa Disisa of Ethiopia covered the course in 1 second less than 2 hours, 6 minutes, and Mary Kitani won the women's race in 2 hours, 22 minutes, 48 seconds for her fourth career win. On Sunday evening, I spoke with sports journalist Martin Rogers, who covered covered the course in a decidedly slower time of 4 hours, 40 minutes, and 21 seconds. That was good for a finishing place of 29,430th. Now, hey, I'm just teasing Martin here by going into his statistics, but I did see a story on Sunday that the president of Estonia, Kersti Kaljulaid, finished in just over 4 hours, 2 minutes. For Martin, it was his first ever marathon, and as he wrote in his piece for USA Today, he staggered over the finish line in Central Park at a turtle's pace. But for Rogers, who turns 40 today, it was a symbolic achievement and helped him reach one of his dreams. It also helped him work through a personal tragedy that came at this time of the year 5 years ago. His daughter was born at only 25 weeks, and she died the next day. I talked with Martin as he was in a taxi on his way to the airport so he could get home to see his wife, who is now pregnant with another child. I welcomed Martin to the sunny side of sports and asked him how he felt after covering 26.2 miles earlier in the day.
How am I feeling after running 26.2 miles is the question that everyone is asking me on text message already. The answer is, for the first hour after the race, I felt like I never, ever want to do another one as long as I live. But I've already started to come around a couple of hours later. So, look, it's very satisfying. It's just the kind of thing that was always in my mind. It was the kind of thing that for many years I thought, oh, I'd see people run marathons. I thought, I'll never be able to do that. So, obviously thousands and thousands of people do it. So it's not a unique accomplishment, but it's unique to me in my life. It's the first time I've done it. So definitely special. To be able to run it in New York was always something that was going to be special for me. And I feel exhausted, but great.
I also asked Martin what he did to train for such a long race, mixed among his regular duties as a sports reporter in Los Angeles.
Yeah, the training for marathon, I guess, is different for everyone, but there are some tried and trusted methods that, if you want to have a fun experience, you should really stick to. I didn't stick to as many of them as I should. I work as a sports journalist, so it's hard. A key to the training is consistency, not having periods of a week or more where you really don't do very much. Unfortunately, in my job, that's not a luxury I have. There are times when I really just can't get in the training. The other part that I would definitely do different next time is the long run. Everyone talks about it. All the coaches and advisors say you've got to get in, several long runs of sort of 18 miles up, preferably getting up to 20 or 21 miles. I did one 18-miler, a couple of 16-milers. It probably wasn't enough because I desperately started to struggle, and it was no coincidence, at around 18 miles. So, and the last hour and a half was a very, very painful experience. There were times I wasn't sure if I was going to get to the finish line, but there were a few sort of little motivating factors in my head that got me there. But I think if I had just done that little bit of extra training in that fashion, then I probably run a much, much faster time.
That's Martin Rogers, a Los Angeles-based sports journalist who just finished his first New York City marathon. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I also asked Martin what it was like after covering the race as a reporter to actually be on the start line in Staten Island.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've had three different types of New York City Marathon experience now. One is sort of hearing about it from afar and maybe watching it from afar on TV. And then last year I was at the event as a journalist covering it, writing about it and watching friends and so on. And now I'm running. And it's a completely different experience. The sort of camaraderie among runners is incredible. I mean, that goes for pretty much any big marathon. The camaraderie, and it sounds kind of weird, but the camaraderie between the runners and the city is something that's quite extraordinary for New York and quite unique for New York. Everywhere you go, these screaming crowds, and it's an incredibly humbling experience. I'm not a great runner. I ran in 4 hours, 40 minutes today. So there's no entertainment purpose for these people to be out there watching me run. It's just pure humanity. They want to They want to support people. They admire the human struggle element of it. And it's incredibly grounding. Like, it's a very emotional experience at times, the fact that these people have, you know, given their time just to cheer you on. They don't know who you are. They've never seen you before and will never see you again. But that's what's special about it. And there are times, and it's funny, like, there are times during a marathon when you're already pretty emotionally frail, right? And then you sort of have, little things can set you off, and you have someone just sort of say a kind word or sort of reach out to you, you know, extend their hand or whatever, and it gets you. I don't cry a whole lot, but there were definitely a few times I was pretty close during the run.
I also wondered, since Martin mentioned that he hadn't really kept up with his training as well as he should have, whether he ever thought at some point he might not be able to finish the race.
It's funny, when I train, a pretty common training distance for me is 5 miles. It's a good period of time. I'm a journalist, I work from home, I have a treadmill at home. And while I can't carve out big chunks of time during the day, I can carve out 45 minutes to do a 5 mile run. But it's a very different doing 5 miles in training on fresh legs to doing it in a race. And when I hit the 21-mile mark, that 5 miles that I had remaining might as well have been 50 miles. Because at that point, I'm hobbling and wobbling along. I'm running at a drastically slower pace than what I'm accustomed to. And at that point, it seemed very unlikely that I could get another half a mile, let alone a mile. And I think if it had been me running on my own, it could never have happened. But you have all these people around, you have other runners, you see other people in a similar sort of position, you can kind of latch on to someone for a bit and try and sort of follow their footstep or different things. And once I got past that and to about 24 miles, well, then it just seems like, well, it'd be pretty stupid to quit now, right? But yeah, 21 miles was my sort of moment of reckoning, if you like.
I wanted to know from Martin if he was able to appreciate what the pros did on Sunday, since he actually was following in their footsteps.
It puts a lot of things in perspective when you look at the times that these top runners run it in. And I wrote in my piece for USA Today going into tomorrow, it's effectively two different marathons, and you might as well call it two different sports, right? You know, these people are unbelievably exceptional athletes. Like, to me, it's among the greatest feats in athleticism, the fact that top marathon runners can run 5 minute miles or less, like quite a bit less in many cases, and they can do it 26 times in a row. Like, I'm pretty interested in the history of running. And, you know, 150 years ago, the mile world record was about 4.5 minutes. So these guys are running just over that 26 times in a row. It's extraordinary. And on the other side, it's almost the only kind of downer of the race is that you don't get to see these great athletes. You have no idea of what's going on. Like, it wasn't until a couple of hours after the race that I knew that Mary Catani had won again. It was just an incredible athlete in a modern era. Clearly loves running in New York, and New York loves her. New York knows it's running, and they know these athletes who come back time and time again, and they appreciate it. And DeSisa from Ethiopia is a guy who wasn't necessarily the favorite to win. I'm going to have to go back and kind of watch a replay of the race to enjoy it. But it doesn't lessen the experience for the weaker runner, because there's no reason why I should be able to run anything close to the times that these guys run. For a start, they're physiologically gifted, incredible athletes, and they devote their life to it. So it's excellent in all sport, and yeah, we can only admire it.
I asked Martin Rogers what he thought about being able to run on the same ground as professional runners, since earlier in his career, he hadn't really been able to appreciate what he was seeing when he saw Michael Phelps win 8 gold medals in Beijing and Usain Bolt win the 100-meter gold medal at the Olympics.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. Like, I've covered sports all over the world and seen some amazing and incredible things, but they're not necessarily things that I can relate to in a lot of times. I watched Michael Phelps win 8 gold medals, but I don't really swim. So, you know, while I can be impressed by it, I can't really have any kind of idea what he went through. Whereas, you know, obviously I don't know what it's like to be a champion runner, I come at the same 26.2 miles. And there's something there. There's a connection between all runners and all people who finish a marathon. And I just make us kind of look up to the people who are able to do it in such excellent fashion. And it was nice for me as well to step out of journalism for a while. Like, I wrote a story about my experience, but it was done in a very kind of personal way. Like, this marathon means a lot to me. Like, I've always dreamed of running New York. I turn 40 tomorrow, so it was kind of cool to run my first marathon before then. Me and my wife suffered the loss of a baby right around this time of year 5 years ago. So there were so many reasons why it had to be this one for the first one. If I was only ever going to run one, it had to be this one because it's always on this weekend. And my parents got to come. My wife couldn't come, but for the best reason, she's pregnant. So it's meaningful and moving in so many different ways. Everyone has their own story. It's like that movie, A Bronx Tale. Like, everyone has their own New York story. Well, I feel definitely that everyone has their own New York marathon story. And I'm glad that now I have mine.
I'm Dan Friedell, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. We're talking with Martin Rogers, a sports journalist who just finished the New York City Marathon. He said he's not sure if he would do another one again, but now that he had a few hours to think about it some more, he might give it another shot. Martin, will you do another marathon?
No, so after the race, I said, there's no way that I'll ever do this again, but it only took a couple of hours for me to change my mind. And I think I'll be back. I think I'll be back here. I have a good friend who's going to be running New York for the first time next year. So I'm pretty competitive. So I'll probably try and come back to that. I live in LA, so it makes sense to do the LA Marathon one day. And I just love the idea of traveling marathons. I love to travel. So Tokyo sounds pretty good. And marathons all over the world. It's something that's really, it's always been popular, but it's exploded tenfold in the last 20 years. And it's a pretty good way to see the world, I think.
That's Martin Rogers, who wrote about running his first marathon on Sunday in New York City. Now some news coming from the always interesting Floyd Mayweather. He announced over the weekend that he has an interesting matchup ahead, this time in Japan. Sporty greetings to my colleague Gwen Uten, who has this story.
Sporty greetings, Dan. On Sunday night, Floyd Mayweather Jr. said he will fight Japanese kickboxer Tenshin Masukawa on New Year's Eve. After his announcement, Mayweather spoke at a press conference in Tokyo.
I wanted to do something different. I always wanted to display my skills outside the U.S. and be in a special fight. And so this presented itself. I spoke with my team. I got with Rizin. And we put it together. I fought in the U.S. All 50 fights actually was in the U.S. But as an amateur, I was able to travel and fight against Russia, fight against Cuba, fight against so many different other countries. But as a professional, I haven't had a chance to go outside the U.S. to display my skills and display my talent for the world. And I chose Japan because it's such a great place and they got great people. And the fighting atmosphere is unbelievable.
The upcoming fight will be held in Japan for the mixed martial arts promotion company, Rizin Fighting Federation. And Mayweather says the event is an opportunity for him to expand his Money Team brand in Tokyo.
I want to continue to build my relationship with Money Team Tokyo. I want to continue to come over here and bring other fighters over here. So, like I said before, for my company can continue to grow and Rizin can continue to grow. But I would love to continue to work with Rizin because Rizin is, like I said before, is an unbelievable company. And my company, we've been making some huge fights happen in the U.S., but we look forward to taking the Mayweather Promotions banner and the TMT banner worldwide.
At age 41, Mayweather is undefeated, holding multiple boxing world titles in five different weight categories. In 2017, Mayweather came out of a near two-year retirement to fight mixed martial arts Irishman Conor McGregor. Floyd won by a technical knockout to extend his perfect record to 50 career victories. And while promoters have yet to decide on the format for December's fight, Mayweather is confident he will come out on top.
I can wrestle. I can wrestle a little bit. I can box a lot of bit. And we'll just see. You know, I can do it all. You know, I could do anything if I set my mind to it.
20-year-old Tenshin Nasukawa competes for Ryzen, and he, too, boasts an unblemished record. Undefeated in both kickboxing with 27 wins and mixed martial arts with 4. Mayweather shared his thoughts about his upcoming opponent.
He's very fast. He's very young. And I'm pretty sure he wants to go out and entertain his people. I'm pretty sure the crowd is going to be on his side. But I'm there for a great cause. You know, it's a special bout, and just for me to be in a ring with a young guy that's hungry, and it's going to be good. It's going to be very, very good, and I can't wait.
For his part, Tenshin said he was surprised by the offer, but accepted without hesitation. He went on to say, quote, "This is the biggest event of my entire life. I would like to prove with my own fists what others couldn't do in the past," end quote. So we will see. Action takes place on December 31st in Japan, and we'll bring you those results in the new year. And that's all from me for now. Dan, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. We're always curious to follow the moves of the interesting career of Floyd Mayweather. Now we're joined by Prince Nesta, who has some news from European soccer over the weekend. Prince, let's start with England.
Alexandre Lacazette secured a 1-1 draw for Arsenal against Liverpool at the Emirates Stadium after the Reds had gone ahead through James Milner. Nigerian international Alex Iwobi produced a stunning through ball, which ripped through the heart of the Reds' backline to set up Lacazette, who half-rounded keeper Alisson and bended a sublime finish. Liverpool now occupy third place in the Premier League table and remain unbeaten in their opening 11 matches to a Premier League campaign for the first time since the 2007-2008 campaign. Raheem Sterling scored twice as Manchester City dismantled hapless Southampton. The Centurions blew Southampton away as they took just 6 minutes to open the scoring. Southampton defender Wesley Hort smashed an attempted clearance into his own net to put Manchester City ahead before goal poacher Sergio Aguero doubled their lead by tapping in Raheem Sterling's cross. David Silva slammed home their third. But Danny Ings did pull one back from the spot after Ederson brought him down in the area. Sterling then netted either side of the break, while Sané added a late sixth to cap off an impressive performance for Pep Guardiola's men. The results now mean City are back to the top spot of the standings, while the Saints are now 7 Premier League games without a victory and lie 16th in the table.
Prince, does it look like either Manchester United or Chelsea have a chance to challenge for the Premier League title this year?
Though I must admit that both teams still have work to do in order to catch up with Pesetas' Manchester City. Spanish forward Alvaro Morata showed predators' instincts to score twice, as unbeaten Chelsea killed off Crystal Palace 3-1 at Stamford Bridge. Pedro sealed victory for the Blues after scoring the decisive third, effectively ensuring the Blues climbed above Liverpool into second spot in the Premier League table. Marcus Rashford scored deep into stoppage time to secure a victory for Jose Mourinho's side after Antoine Martial had cancelled out Callum Wilson's early opener as Manchester United came from behind to beat Bournemouth 2-1 at the Vitality Stadium. The result means the Red Devils have won both Premier League matches since their defeat on home soil to Juventus last month, with the two sides reconvening in Turin on Wednesday. Sunny, a showdown is looming later tonight between Fulham and Huddersfield, who could climb out of the relegation zone with a victory, with both teams hoping to win their Premier League fixture, which will be held at the John Smith Stadium.
Thank you, Prince, for those Nesta nuggets. And we wanted to give a quick Sunny Side of Sports shout out to Kylian Mbappe, the French striker of Cameroonian descent, who helped PSG with the goal and an assist in its 2-1 victory over Lille. And that wraps up the November 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger and VOA engineer John Dryden. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sunny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show. Our topic will be cooking. Is it a woman's job only? This will be Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Americans vote in the U.S. midterm elections on November 6th. We'll examine what the results mean for America's domestic and foreign policy, particularly as they relate to Africa and Africans. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA has concluded that the 11-year mission of the Dawn spacecraft and its exploration of Vesta and Ceres, two of the largest objects in the asteroid belt, has come to an end. According to the space agency, the spacecraft missed scheduled communication sessions with NASA's Deep Space Network not only on October 31st, but also on November 1st. NASA says the Dawn flight team checked through a number of possible causes for that lack of contact, but the mission's managers realized that the spacecraft simply ran out of its hydrazine fuel. That fuel supply allowed mission specialists to control the spacecraft's pointing. Without this ability, Dawn was no longer able to set its antennas to communicate with its controllers on Earth, nor could it turn and adjust its solar panels to get a power recharge from the sun. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
The 2019 Voice of America calendars are in. This year's calendar features a variety of scenic photos that capture the beautiful byways of the United States, including magnificent photos of California's Big Sur Coast Highway, West Virginia's Highland Scenic Highway, and even the Cato All-American Road in Maine. Tune into Border Crossings and call to request a free calendar.
VOA. Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.